Good morning. I'm Pastor Kirby. I'm one of the pastors here. Man, it's great to be back again. I love gathering together, and it's this summer schedule has been fun of seeing people all join together, and I love the, oh my goodness, thank you. And no lid. You trust me. Charlie, thank you. Thank you. I don't feel like a 12-year-old. That's okay. I joke. I don't know where we were at, but it was great. So we've been in the book of Malachi. We've been looking at the minor prophet of Malachi in the Old Testament. And to give you kind of a sum up where we've been, this is our last week of this. And so what we see in Malachi is kind of this Q&A with God. So God presents an idea saying, hey, followers of me, here's something that you have done. You have not lived up to your side of the bargain. And the people would say, really? Tell me what I did. I don't believe that. And so Jesus then, or God continues to go on and expound on his bigger point and expand the idea of what was going on. So this is back and forth. And what we learned is that Malachi really is a very challenging little book. Malachi was speaking to those who followed God already. Okay, it was a very intentional message to the followers of God in terms of their acts of worship. And in week one, we talked about that the people really weren't bringing God the best. In fact, they were bringing him less than. They were bringing him the leftovers, and not Thanksgiving leftovers. It's like leftovers of grandma's fruitcake. I mean, it really was not good stuff. Sorry, I don't care for fruitcake. But it really wasn't the best stuff. In fact, it was the worst stuff. And they thought that was enough. They said God will just accept it because it's an offering. Week two, we looked at another aspect of this, and that we weren't fulfilling our commitments, that the people of Malachi were not fulfilling the commitments that they made to God, that God had led them through the wilderness, had brought them to this place, and as a result and as a response, they should honor their commitment to God. And that's where we were in week two. And then last week, we talked about what it meant to have a real tithe, what it meant to serve, what it meant to give up our resources. And when we put our resources first and foremost in our lives, everything else follows. So that's where we've been. And today we're going to talk about and try to understand, why is it that Malachi was so direct? Why was it that Malachi had such a sense of urgency about him? We're going to go there. There's a story of this young manager who is set to take over the long tenured, deeply rooted leader of this company. And he wanted to do a good job. So he goes to this senior leader who is well-respected, and he says, could you give me some advice? You have some really big shoes to fill. Could you give me some advice on how to succeed and make this company run? And the seasoned vet thought about it, and he comes over. He says, three words, make good decisions. And he's like, yeah. And so he writes it down, just soaking it up. He's, yeah, that's great. How do you make good decisions? What is the key to making good decisions? He says, one word, experience. He just starts writing it down. Oh, that's great, great. And as he's writing, he says, and how do you get experience? And the old seasoned vet says, two words, bad decisions. Every single day we make decisions. Dr. Richard Petty is a professor of psychology at Ohio State University, and he says that on average we are given hundreds and hundreds of decisions we need to make every single day. They're from the trivial and petty to like grape jelly versus strawberry. We all know it's strawberry. Then it goes into the moral, good versus evil, right? And then there's other decisions that we make, priority, goods or bads. And then there's the faith decisions that we've got to make every single day. Because the fact is that we are the sum total of the decisions that we make. Because the decisions make us. Whatever decisions we make, no matter at what age, they shape who we are. Cosmetics mogul, this is a new one. You probably wouldn't expect me to quote Mary Kay, but here you go. Cosmetics mogul Mary Kay once said this, be careful of the choices you make today. They will become your lifestyle tomorrow. Every single day we are faced with hundreds and hundreds of choices. Choices about everything imaginable, including faith. And so within faith, are we going to choose to follow him, or are we going to choose not to follow him? Are we going to choose to love and serve others? Are we going to choose to put him first in our lives? Are we going to make him a priority? Are we going to choose to bring him our best? What are the decisions that we're going to make? And those are the questions that Malachi asked the people. And he's going to ask us today, What are you going to choose? Which decision are you going to make? And Malachi didn't hold back. We talked about this. And so as we wrap up Malachi, we're going to see the same thing, that he doesn't let off the gas. He continues to push the gas because there's a sense of urgency with Malachi. There's a game show on TV. Some of you may have heard of Deal or No Deal. Have you heard Deal or No Deal? In this game, there's 26 briefcases, and the contestant has to pick one, and inside that briefcase is a dollar amount. The contestant obviously wants to win the most money. So they pick this briefcase, and then over the course of the game, they have to get rid of all the other suitcases, or briefcases, excuse me. Get rid of all the other briefcases, trying to find the highest dollar value. And as they do that, the banker or the person offers them a deal. Would you take X amount of dollars to buy your briefcase? And the question then is, deal or no deal? And the contestant has to figure it out. So that's what we're going to ask ourselves today. If in our decision with God, with our decision with faith, we're going to ask ourselves, is this a deal or a no deal with God? What are we going to do? So the first question that Malachi gives us within this, the end of the chapter, is, will we serve others? Will we render service to others? Some of the people Malachi addressed were incredibly guilty about just whining and complaining about God. They'd go to their friends, they'd go to everybody else, and they just complain about God and what God was doing and what he wasn't doing and what they wanted. And they'd whine and complain about God, but they'd never go to God and complain. They'd never go directly to God and complain. And they denied it over and over. They would deny, when did we do this? When did we, tell me, God, when did I actually do that? And they were confronted with their words. Whatever do you mean? This is the seventh time in this short little book where they said, when did we, or what did we ever do that was wrong? See, what were they talking about? For them, serving God was just drudgery. It was a place that they didn't enjoy it. They didn't see the immediate benefit. They felt that they weren't getting what was theirs. They didn't see the immediate joy of serving, and they didn't get the benefits that were right there. And they weren't becoming rich. They weren't having the kingdoms. They weren't seeing the overwhelming, great personal benefits of serving. Malachi 3:13 says it like this. You have said terrible things about me, says the Lord. But you say, here they go again, what do you mean? What have we said against you? You have said, what's the use of serving God? What have we gained by obeying his commands or by trying to show the Lord of heaven's armies that we are sorry for our sins? From now on, we will call the arrogant blessed, for those who do evil get rich, and those who dare God to punish them suffer no harm. Then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, those who serve God and those who do not. See, I think those complaints, they don't only just go to the people of Malachi, but they raise their ugly head with us as well. A lot of us stop serving God in any context whatsoever because we're not seeing the benefit. We're not seeing the personal benefit and blessing out of this. And we say, I'm not getting anything out of this. I'm done. What's in it for me? And we don't see it. And so we walk away and we don't say, God, you're not blessing me. You asked me to serve, but you're not blessing me. And other people seem to be succeeding and I'm not. And I don't like that. Malachi raised the bar on absolutely everything, and especially with service. He identified that service distinguishes a follower, the righteous person, from those who don't follow God. The wicked person is what he calls it. Righteousness in God's sight is more than a profession of faith. It's more than that one time we walked down at Billy Graham. Following God is a lifelong commitment that we need to honor. See, we like the term. I think a lot of us like the term that says, I am a servant for Christ. Because that sounds cute. That sounds great. I am a servant for Jesus. But none of us really like to be called or treated like a servant. None of us like to be treated that way, but we like to be called that way. Because servants, here's the deal, servants don't complain about it not being fair. Servants don't take the time of whining about what they're not getting. They don't do that. They just serve. God referred to Moses as my servant, Moses. And the ultimate servant was obviously Jesus. He said this in Mark 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So I think we should follow his example. because each day presents us that choice. Are we going to serve God or are we not going to serve God? So the question is that a deal or a no deal with God? The next question Malachi asks us is, will we revere God? Will we revere God? See, fearing the Lord is a synonym for that heartfelt worship of God, for who he is and what he is about. The fear of God is to have the heart that's sensitive to both his grace and his power. It's being aware of his holiness and his graciousness. To esteem his name is to honor the person. Malachi 3, verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. In his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name. These actions, they acknowledge the Lord who he claims to be. They acknowledge before him that you are the God, you are the sovereign God of all the universe, the creator of all things, the redeemer of the humankind, and I'm going to hold you in awe. A.W. Tozer he's a pastor and he's a theologian. He wrote a book called The Knowledge of Holy, and he said this about God. To know God is to fear him and to be stunned by the splendor of his majesty. God exists not just to meet our needs like a genie in a lamp, but God is not just the big guy in the sky or the grandfatherly figure that we have. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the Almighty. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and he is holy, holy, holy. And the only proper response to him is reverence and respect. And that's what Malachi is calling the people to, and I think that applies to us, at least those who follow him already. Martin Luther, the great reformer, once told the great humanist scholar Irenaeus this. He told Irenaeus, your God is too manlike. How many of us make God a very human-like person? He also gave us another idea that said, let God be God. We should share those thoughts that God is to be worshipped through the proper awe, each and every day. The proper awe. So is it going to be a deal or no deal? Are we able to revere God for who he is? Can we ask that question? The next question we're asked is, will we be rewarded by God? That sounds selfish, but stick around. Are we going to be rewarded by God? Listen, we all like rewards, don't we? I mean, we all want a credit card that gives us cash back, 1% for every $1 million we spend, right? We like that, right? We all like frequent flyer miles. My sister loves coupons. She loves to save 10 cents, right? I mean, she just loves it. We all like rewards. We all like benefits. We all like getting things. And the deal is there are rewards and benefits for following God. Oftentimes, they may not be what you're expecting or hoping for, but there are rewards. Malachi 3, verse 16, starting there, says, they will be my people, says the Lord of heaven's army. On the day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. These couple of verses reveal, I think, a few things that we can understand about the blessings. In these small passages, there are some blessings listed within there. The first is that God listens to us. How amazing is that? The God of the universe listens to us. It says the Lord took notice and listened. Wow. See, when we give reverence to God, he is all ears. It talks about God leaning into us, sitting on every word, wanting to hear us. God listens to us. When we turn to God, he tunes into our frequency. The next thing we understand is that God remembers us. God remembers us. It says a book of remembrance was written and listed of all those who followed God. He remembers us. Now, ancient rulers would frequently do this. They'd make a list of somebody who did something good for the kingdom. That way, when the time of blessing, the time of giving back to the people came, they would be remembered. This happened in culture all the time. God remembers you, and there is an appropriate reward. In fact, the only thing that God forgets is our confessed sin. Isaiah 49, verse 16 says it like this. See, I have written your name on the palms of my hands. God forgets those confessed sins, but he remembers you. He doesn't forget. Another blessing. God claims you. God claims you. It says, they will be my people. They will be my people. The word there, mine or my, is emphatic. I claim them like a child being adopted. I claim them. They are now mine. I want them. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we are claimed by God. We are desired and we are wanted by the God of the universe. The next blessing is that God treasures us. How cool is that? Verse 17 says, they will be my own special treasure. I don't know when the last time was that you've been called a treasure, but I'm sure it wasn't positive. But God treasures you. That idea is that you're set aside as something special. Look, we all own stuff, don't we? We own stuff. It's just stuff, but some of that stuff we hold more valuable than others, don't we? And what do we do with that highly valued stuff? We put it away for safekeeping, right? Because it holds value to us. It is a high treasure for us. God treasures you in the same way. We matter to him far more than we will ever know. Another blessing is that God spares us. It says, I will spare them as a father spares his obedient child. Look, Malachi is full of warnings. We've seen that, we've read that, we've understood that. And if you haven't, you can go back and see it. It's full of warnings, but it's also full of incredible, incredible blessings and compassion. God spares those who serve and fear and love God. God grants us mercy, but we deserve justice. God gives us mercy. We do not get what we deserve, so God spares us. Each and every day, though, the evil one is confronting us. The evil one is confronting us to and making us doubt and question those blessings of God. God really doesn't treasure you. You're not that important. Look how big the world is. Really, God claimed you? But look at the mistakes you've made. And every day, the evil one comes in and whispers in your ear and tries to hide those blessings of God from you. But those blessings of God are there when we follow him. So the question we need to answer is that a deal or no deal with God? Will we understand and accept the blessings of God? The next question we need to answer is this. Will you be ready? Will you be ready? There is going to be a day, this is about as fire and brimstone as I ever get, but there will be a day where God will intervene in the course of history in the most dramatic way ever. And will we be ready? Malachi chapter 4, verse 1 says it this way. The Lord of heaven's armies, the day of judgment is coming, burning like a furnace. On that day, the arrogant and the wicked will be burned up like straw. They will be consumed, roots, branches, and all. Can you imagine what it would take to remove everything? That's the idea here, is that everything is going to be removed. And Malachi is reminding us that at one day God is going to treat us either as a saint who is forgiven and following God or a sinner who does not, who has chosen not to. So that is the question you're going to be asked. The old Seattle Kingdom used to be home to the Seahawks and the Mariners and now the every now and then the defunct Supersonics, if you're old enough to remember them in basketball. But on March 26, 2000, it was destroyed. It was absolutely destroyed. And the demolition company went to great lengths to make sure safety was of a priority. Every single head was visibly counted for. They got into groups and they did that. They cleared street blocks. They had a blowhorn with a countdown talking about when it would go. They had a safety measure set at any time. The detonation process could stop if it was a fear of danger, right? The company took every reasonable measure and more to warn the people of the danger. Malachi is doing the same thing. He is warning the people of every conceivable danger, every conceivable outcome. And the Bible says that nobody's going to know the day. Okay, nobody's going to know. But there will be a time where Jesus and God intervene dramatically in the course of history. We don't know. And so we continue to go. And so the question is, are you ready? How will you face it? Will you face it as a sinner separated by God or a saint who is called on God as Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives? Not just once at a Billy Graham crusade or coming down to the altar, not just once as a baptism or having water sprinkling on their head, but as a person who wakes up daily and says, God, I'm going to put you first, I'm going to bring you my best, and I'm going to serve you daily. So is that a deal or no deal? That's a big one. The last question he asks us is this, is will we remember God's commands? Will we remember, sometimes it's obey God's commands. In 1992, there was Hurricane Andrew in Florida, and there was a news crew down in Florida doing a story, and just devastation everywhere. But amongst the devastation, there was one house still on its foundation. It didn't get destroyed. It didn't get moved over. And the TV news crew finds the owner of the house and is interviewing this man. And he says, how did you manage to escape the severe damage of the hurricane? Why is your house, the only one in the entire neighborhood, still standing? And the man replied like this. I built this house myself. I also built it according to the Florida State Building Code. When the code called for 2x6 roof trusses, I used 2x6 roof trusses. I was told that a house built according to code could withstand a hurricane, and I did, and it did. I suppose no one else around here followed the code. Malachi 4:4 tells it this way. Remember to obey the law of Moses, my servant, all the decrees and regulations that I give him on Mount Sinai for all Israel. The term remembrance means to obey. See, obedience to God's willing and commands brings us the greatest fulfillment possible. In Matthew 7, Jesus told his disciples that following his word is like a man who built his house on a solid foundation, a bed of rock, a bed of concrete. It's not going anywhere. And when problems come, when the storms of life comes and the garbage of life comes, and we all know if you've been breathing more than a year, garbage comes. And will you stand in that place? Will you understand his commandments? Because each and every day you're given a choice. Each and every day you're given those questions to answer. We believe he is real. So the five decisions are monumental. Will you serve others? Will you revere God? Will you be rewarded by God? Will you be ready? And will you remember his commands? What is your decision? Here's a depressing thought, I think. But the moment you're born is the moment you start dying. That's kind of depressing, but it's true. The fact is that our lives will come to an end. Some sooner than later, and I'm sorry if that hurts you. I just did a funeral this week, so it's still personal in that aspect. But at some point, our lives will come to an end, and what questions have we answered in our heart? Christ knew this. Jesus came into this world as little bitty, beautiful baby Jesus. I love that picture of Jesus. That's why I think we love Christmas more than Easter sometimes. We love the infant Jesus. He's cute. He's warm. We don't like to think that that baby was born to die. But that was his mission. He understood his mission. He answered those questions. Philippians 2 gives us a great picture of this. He says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to the glory of God the Father. How will you answer these questions? Have you answered them? And again, Malachi is not let up, but what's your decision? Is it a deal or a no deal with God? You have to decide for yourself. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for who you are. For the joy of coming into this place. God, for finding us where we are. And in this place, God, these questions that were asked, these questions that are brought to our minds, help us to determine in our hearts and our minds now what that will be, what that will look like. Because God, every day we're going to be littered with questions, and those questions sometimes will force us to make a very hard decision. And God, this morning, maybe somebody just needs to make that decision for you. They say, I'm going to set myself aside. I understand that my pride and my heart will be set aside for you. And I pray, God, that they would just work on their hearts, that they would know you, that they'd surrender to you, because as a song goes, we're going to come to you. We're going to surrender into your arms. And Father, I thank you for the opportunity to serve you this morning. And God, may you be glorified in all we do. In your name, amen.